the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
No, just because I'm looking around going, wait, I'm an audio expert and I don't have audio on my thing.
A minor imperfection, but that's what makes you rare, darling.
And now we're done and we got
it. Absolutely. So thank you and welcome to On the Edge.
I'm excited.
Where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp and the responses are never dull. Thank you so much for being here, Sandy Weaver. I want to talk to you about some good stuff, some fun stuff, you know. And you are a person that I've admired from afar, the work that you do, as far as kindling and dog shows.
Yeah.
Okay. I got a friend that's going to love this episode because she's considering being a trainer for show dogs.
Oh, cool. What's her name?
Claudine Ford.
Well, that sounds like a woman I need to know.
Okay, yeah, I'm telling you, she loves her little dogs. So anyway, back to you. Tell my Brains a little bit about you, how you show up in the world, what your mission is, and what your cause is.
Oh my gosh, so you want the 5-second version or do you want the 5-day version?
a blend of both.
Okay, so my dad was career military and I grew up moving about every year or two. And I really believe that has shaped my worldview in that I think the world is a lot smaller than most people think it is. And I think that we are all much more alike than most people think we are. And I love looking at the world that way. And I love looking at the world and seeing that if you can just help people tweak a little thought, one little thought, one little way, you can change their whole life going forward. And so that's how I work with people. Now, how did I get there? Well, I was a military brat who turned into a radio personality for a lot of years, almost at a million, but it wasn't quite that long. I was a radio personality in major markets, Boston and Washington, D.C. and Atlanta, Georgia. And then when I ended my radio career about 12 years ago, I morphed into a professional speaker. And when I was in fourth grade, I was inspired by both of my fourth grade teachers. We moved in the middle of my fourth grade year. So I had a fourth grade teacher in Columbus, Georgia, and a fourth grade teacher in Rohnert Park, California. And the one in Columbus, Georgia realized that I couldn't see very well. And the farther I was from the blackboard, the worse my grades were. And she mentioned that to my mom and got me into glasses. And all of a sudden, school got a lot easier.
Well, that happened to my mother too. But well, it was unfortunate because my grandmother had 9 kids and she couldn't afford to get my mother glasses.
Mm.
So my mother always suffered and that impacted her reading, her vision.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can have headaches. So yeah, that was huge.
Bless your mother's heart and bless your grandmother's heart too. It must have broken her heart not to be able to do for her daughter.
Well, you gotta figure if you're gonna eat or you're gonna see.
Yeah.
that's cold-blooded. You gotta figure out.
And it is, and it's harsh when you have to be that cold-blooded, but eating is very important, and you are rocking those round glasses. I love those on you.
I was telling everybody in our intro before we came, I found this at the dollar store.
Yeah? I love that.
I said, I'm gonna work this dollar.
Yeah. You know, I love thrifting. As a matter of fact, I think I got this jacket at a thrift store.
You know what?
I did.
So good.
Yeah.
No, I got this at the 99-cent store. So
you paid less than a dollar. Girlfriend, you go ahead. That is good.
Taxes in California, you know, I might have paid
$2. yeah, just about, yeah.
But you are a striking beauty. You are, and you have really grown into the woman that you are.
That is true. And the striking beauty part, thank you. I can take no credit for it. That is the genetics that my parents gave me. So I'm eternally appreciative of those.
And thank you. It looks like a good, healthy, balanced lifestyle.
I try really hard. I don't always succeed.
No.
Every now and then, instead of dinner, I have ice cream. So, well, that's okay. Because it doesn't happen every night.
Just sharing with my audience about what your age range is, how old you are about.
I am 62. I turned 62 this year.
See, that's what 62 looks like, brains.
Thank you.
And you can do it too.
Yeah.
Tell me about the work that you do with animals. That's what I want to hear, because you do some amazing work, and I got some great stories to share. So go ahead.
Cool. I can't wait to hear your stories. Well, the work I do with animals, the actual animals, I have Siberian Huskies, and I've had them for about 40 years, and I show them in conformation and obedience and rally and agility. Well, agility, I've got a young one who's going to be good at it, so I guess I need to learn how to run again. And I like competition, and I like not necessarily beating other people, but seeing how good my dog and I can be. That's what the competition is for me. And so each time I go into the ring with one of them, it's trying to be better than we were the last time. Not to beat the other people that are there. They can be the best they can be too, and may the best dog win. And I also am an AKC judge. So when I'm not showing a dog, I might be judging the dogs and, you know, sometimes touching them inappropriately. You've seen what those judges do on TV. And it's my love of dogs that took me into the people that I work with as a trainer. Now, my fourth grade teachers made me want to be a teacher. And then I was a radio personality, and you could kind of stretch the definition of teacher a lot get there. But I'm back to being a teacher now. I'm back to what I wanted to be when I was in fourth grade, because as a professional speaker, I train people to be a better version of themselves. I teach them tools using neuroplasticity, neurology, positive psychology. I'm a citizen scientist in all of those attributes. I stay right up to date with those. Wow. And I take what I learned there, and I help people be the best version of themselves that they can. I work for
train them like chihuahuas.
Well, pretty much, yeah. You know, Don't let people know, but they're almost as easy to train as dogs are. If I could walk around with everybody's favorite treat, I could get them to do whatever I wanted in about 5 seconds.
No, really, it's not taking much these days.
No.
What are some of the fun things that you do in your life, and you know, and what has all of this taught you? You know, COVID and pivoting and not being in front of the actual crowd to speak.
This has been a year of pivot, April. You are absolutely right about that. And I know that all the brains that are watching, I know every single one of y'all has pivoted too.
She called you by name. See?
April taught me well, y'all. But, April tells me I know what we're doing. I know what the story is.
But
so, yeah, it's a pivot year. That's, you know, and you can either stand around and complain about what this year hasn't been, or you can go, hey, what can I make this year? And in February, it started becoming obvious as most of my speaking engagements started canceling. And by the time we got to March, I did not have a single live speaking engagement left on my calendar. And that's how I make money, y'all. That's how I pay the rent. That's how I buy my groceries. That's how I feed my dogs. And so that was kind of a challenge. And I know I'm not the only person who was challenged that way. So I looked at what was and said, this looks like a good year to put up an online learning platform so people can just go and learn what I know and what I love to teach whenever they want to. So if you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and you feel like you want to learn something, I got stuff for you.
You know what? I just keep looking at you in that background and your poise and everything. You need to go back into TV.
Oh, thank you.
I just had a premonition on that. Yeah, just, you know, it's just perfect for that.
Thank you.
People are doing that from the comfort of their home.
You know,
with visibility, with tenacity, again, with mindset. It's a lot going on. We got a lot of heavy lifting that we're doing right now, Sandy.
And you are being a really good role model for that, April.
Thank you.
You just need to.
I'll hold the line for you if I can. I really try. You know, I try the best that I can. Give us some words of encouragement. Set us in the right trajectory right now.
Oh my gosh! One of the best things on the planet is just to make that voice inside your head be quiet. You know, that little voice that says things that you can't do and things that you're not good at and things that maybe you've got a little imposter syndrome going on and you think, well, I don't have anything to teach anybody. Nobody has led the life you have led. Nobody has learned the lessons you have learned. Nobody can teach what you know except you. And so if there's one person on the planet who needs to know what you know, you're doing them a disservice by not sharing it. You are enough. You know enough. You have enough. Now go do it.
What? Is that a testimony, Brains?
That is a testimony. Yep.
I feel that all down in my boots. I do. So do you have some new programs or books, or what are you promoting right now? How can my brains connect with you?
The closest to my heart people that I work with are veterinarians. And because of my love of dog and dog sports, that might seem kind of obvious to you. What most people don't know is that veterinarians have an exceptionally high rate of suicide. And the CDC did a study that covered 38 years, I believe. It could be 37. I may have that number wrong, but it's 30-something years. And they looked at every veterinary death in that time, and they categorized them. How did they die? Was it a natural death? Did they die by a completed suicide? And they charted the same years in the general population. And it turns out that male veterinarians are 2.1 times as likely to complete a suicide as their peers in the general population. And female veterinarians are 3.5 times as likely to complete suicide. You know, and that's April, thank you so much for saying that, because that is the first response most people have. That they're like, well, they get to work with animals all day. No, that's what they wanted to do was work with animals all day. That's what they went to school to do was work with animals all day. What they get to do all day is manage people and run a hospital and wear the 18 different hats that a small business owner has to wear. They get to have all that stress. They get to know that, you know, humans are not really good at taking our own medicine properly. Have you heard that? That we're not very compliant.
Oh, yeah. Taking our own medication. Like yeah. Wearing a mask.
Yeah, exactly. We're not good at it.
I didn't say that.
I know you didn't. I did not hear it. We're not good at it. So imagine how bad we are at giving our pets medication. Mm-hmm. Then put yourself in the veterinarian's shoes. All they want to do is make your pet better. And you are the person who is paying their bills. And oh, by the way, did I mention that when they graduate veterinary school, they have between $200,000 and $700,000 in school loan debt, most of them do. It's a lot of money they have in school loans, student loans. And so the same person who is helping them pay down those loans and pay all the salaries of all the people that they're working with, that same person, their client, is not following the veterinarian's instructions. Can you imagine how stressful that conversation is?
It is, because, you know, Rays, I'm going to tell you a secret that you said that. My dog was addicted to Lean. You know, Lean is an ethnic term for like cough syrup or codeine.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So he would cough and he would hack, I guess, because his windpipe was kind of closing up. Uh-huh. And you want some Lean, and he say, you know, you can just kind of see him like, yeah, let's go into that. But there's people out here. I know one particular woman I'm following online is paying for cancer treatment.
Yeah.
When it comes to your animal, everybody, now look, don't get on my back because I have 13 dogs. I have 13 dogs. But I'm just saying that it becomes a point of the quality of their life versus the quantity of their life. And how much are you going to do that? You know, I read somewhere that all dogs go to heaven.
Yeah, well, of course they do.
And people don't take care of their vets. I mean, take care of their animals like they should. My mother cracks up. She says, they go and get the dog's teeth brushed. I said, absolutely. You know, she said, we used to have them in the backyard chained up, have something to eat, scraps off the table. Everybody was happy.
Yeah.
Now they've got foo-foo restaurants and hotels and, you know, all this for animals.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I think about the humane thing. It's hard. It's really hard.
It is.
It's a soul, no matter what. It's still. Yeah. And these veterinarians see this. They see this. When we had to put my dog down one time, I actually saw the aura of the veterinarian change.
Yeah.
When she put the dog down, I saw that movement. Her eyes twinkled. It was kind of freaky. So I can imagine that, you know, and this is not a person you can verbally communicate with. You're intuitively working with them. There's an energy there between the two. So that's heavy. Veterinarian work is heavy.
Can I tell you, probably, and it's suicide is, it's like putting a key in a lock. all the tumblers have to line up at exactly the same time in order for the key to turn. So a lot of things have to be going on. But in my mind, the single most damaging thing that veterinarians do is have the conversation with their clients. On average, 2 times a week, they counsel a client that ending their pet's life is a humane and good and loving thing to do because it puts the animal out of pain. And then when the veterinarian finds themselves, and the way your brain works, the more you say something, the more likely you are to believe it. That's the short version. Y'all have to take me up on that. If you want the long version, I'll give it to you later, but just get in touch with me. I will tell you exactly how that works. It's pretty simple and pretty profound. The more often you think something or say something, the more it becomes a belief. And so if a veterinarian who is struggling anyway gets into a place of suicidal desperation, and that belief triggers in their head, that can be the last one of those tumblers in the lock. Because wow. Now they're not talking about Fifi. Now they're talking about themselves and ending their own pain and suffering.
Wow.
And veterinarians don't have suicide attempts. They know how to do it. Because they do it. That's something that I don't know how they compartmentalize in their minds. They have to know in their minds they're doing the right thing for the pet. And yet, it has to be hard. I don't know how you turn that pain, watching your client be in pain. Because I know you probably sat there and cried even while you were watching the aura change. I know when I put my dogs down, I cry like a baby for days.
Oh, let me tell you my horror story. My Jean-Pierre, look, let me bring him in.
Oh, let me see Jean-Pierre.
Jean-Pierre, right here. Can you see him?
Oh my gosh, he's so beautiful.
He was. The coyotes jumped over the fence, girl, kidnapped him, and ate him.
April, I am so sorry. Oh.
That? After 13 years, and I am devastated.
Yeah.
I feel devastated.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's strange because I've had some great animal intuitives that said that he's fine. He was kind of sick. You know, I said he had the respiratory problems. That it was quick, you know. So again, all dogs go to heaven.
Yes, they do.
You know, cats too.
Yep.
Are you a cat lover? Do you like horses?
I love animals. I've never had a cat because I have Siberian Huskies and they can tend to be a little hard on cats. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to bring a cat into that kind of a situation. I love them from afar. My vet kind of collects cats for her clinic because people come in and they say, well, they don't want that cat anymore. Will you euthanize it? And she won't euthanize a healthy animal. She just has them sign it over and it becomes a clinic kitty. So,
where are you located again?
I'm in the Atlanta, Georgia area.
You're in Georgia. Well, let me brag on San Diego. Do you know that our Helen Woodworth Animal Shelter is empty? There's
no, that is so good. There. Good for them.
But what I want people to realize is that just because, you know, we've been home with the COVID and you got a dog and now you have to go back to work or you got to find some sense of normal or it's harder for you to get the dog food, that pet is still a part of your family.
Yep.
Don't return them back to the shelter. You got to hang in there with them because what happens after disasters, you know, people take them back to the shelter. Yep. I was reading one article, this one dog had been to the shelter 9 times.
Oh my.
9 times. And now he's found his forever home. You know?
Yay. Lucky dog.
You are a lucky dog in so many ways because you've been able to, you know, pivot and have these different opportunities in life.
Yep.
I think you're brilliant. I think you have a great career steer in television. Stay there where you are. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you, your offerings.
Okay.
What do you think?
One of my favorite things is meditation. So if you already meditate, yay for you. If you don't meditate on a daily basis, I have free guided meditations for you. So it helps you get started, being able to listen and have somebody guide you through. But meditation just helps you quiet that little voice inside your head that says you can't. So if you're not meditating already, think about meditating, and you can get 7 free guided meditations at centerforworkplacehappiness.com/store. And while you're there, you can also see the book that I have just finished this week. It is not ready to purchase yet, but you can pre-purchase. And if you pre-purchase, you get some bonuses.
Where's the cover?
It's my, well, the one that I put on Facebook was just an ugly mock-up. My very gifted designer, Vanessa Lowry, is working on a cover for me, and she should have something either today or tomorrow.
Okay, because I want the exclusive.
Yeah, well, you got it, darling. I'm going to send it to you as soon as it's ready.
All right.
But you can get the book. You can pre-order it. The name of the book is The Care and Feeding of Your Veterinarian. So if you have pets, and if you have a veterinarian, if you have pets and you don't have a veterinarian, then you're not being a very good pet owner. If you have pets and you have a veterinarian, you need to read the book. And half of the proceeds will go to Not One More Vet Incorporated, which is an organization that assists veterinarians who are in crisis.
Wow. I mean, Brains, you never know what's you're gonna find when you turn over a precious stone. I turn over a rock. And I found Sandy Weaver right here.
Okay. I love you, April Mahoney. Thank you
so much. Brains, get connected. Do right by your pets. Do right by yourself. Do right by your soul. And check folks out. You know, they got some great information out there. Thank you. And come back to the edge. And Brains, subscribe. Where's my little thing? Yeah. You got to hit that subscribe button. Double down there. Really raise those numbers. Okay. Because I'm having fun.
And you are fabulous, April.
Thank you. Bye-bye, baby.